Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, please. If we don't have it, we might as well go home, Mike. For real, we might as well just go on home, because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, Andy, we're just a cult. Amen? Man, I'm glad to be here. I'm even more excited about what we got to talk about today, man. It's going to come from Acts chapter 2, and it's about Pentecost. It's about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, if I was to ask you this morning, what should we do first? The Lord just said, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Right, Carla? Oh, let's do that this morning. Let's invite, like that song just said, right? Let's invite him here. But you know what? He's already here. Because each one of you guys who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that Spirit is living inside of you. Right? And my goal through that same Spirit today is to try to fan that flame of fire that is in you. Amen. That is in you. Yes. All right? And I may be able to do it with a matchbook, or I may have to get out a piece of plywood. Amen? But listen, that Holy Spirit is within you. You've been saved and you have salvation through Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Father, we just come before you this morning. What a joy it is to be in your house, Lord. And Father, what a joy it is to be in the book of Acts, Father. And we thank you for this word you have given us, Lord, and what it can show us and what it can teach us, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for what this book represents, the early, early church, Lord, and 3 decades of you pouring yourself into these men and women, Lord, and building the church, Lord, to all the way to what it is today. And we continue that very work that started on this day of Pentecost so long ago, Father. Today, Lord, here's my prayer, that we, all of us here, blood-bought Christians, blood-bought, Holy Spirit-filled Christians, today, Lord, would look at ourselves from an honest perspective and see, Lord, and ask ourselves, am I living up to what was given on the day of Pentecost so long ago? Lord, you know my answer. We've already had this discussion. My answer was no, I am not. Lord, may we all look at ourselves from that perspective and see what we can do for you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. So last week we talked about Acts chapter 1 and Jesus' ascension. Remember some things he left behind? An unfinished task. he left behind the absolute truth. He left behind an unquestionable love, right? He left behind an unmistakable plan, but he also left behind an unshakable promise. And what was that promise? You should never forget this promise. As we read last week in Acts, as Jesus ascended, right? And those 2 men that were at the tomb showed up again, right? And he said, why do you look at this Jesus? This Jesus is coming back the same way in which he left. Amen? So in Acts chapter 1, we actually get to see our Savior taken off. But with that ascension came a promise. All right, came a promise. A promise that was made long, 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 long ago. In fact, over 700 years before it actually happened. Amen? So if you are got your Bibles, man, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from 1 through 17. Please invite God into your heart. All right? Say, Lord, repeat after me. Lord, speak to me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now we're all on the same page. Amen? All right. We're going to look at verse, let's start right there in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered all together in one place. When the day of Pentecost came. Oh, Pentecost, Carla, come on. Pentecost. What does Pentecost mean? Anybody know? In the Greek, it means 50th. All right? In the Hebrew, it means Shavat. It is when they celebrated the Feast of Harvests or the Feast of Weeks, which, listen, the reason it's 50th is because it always took place 50 days after Passover. Okay? Everybody follow me? A lot of people believe, and I will never neither confirm nor deny, when was the first Passover, Sonny? Egypt, right? When the angel of death or God passed over, if you had blood on the doorpost, right? That was the first Passover. And many people believe it was 50 days later that they stood at the bottom of the mountain and received the law of God. But what we do know is Pentecost means 50th, and that's why when we read through this, all these people are in Jerusalem. That's why the crowds are there from everywhere. All right? There was three feasts that they all came to Jerusalem to celebrate. Three holidays, right? Number one, Passover. Number two, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest. Number three, Feast of Tabernacles. They were always in the city of Jerusalem during those three major feasts. All right? And what we know here is 3,000 of those people got saved. 3,000 of those people got saved. All right. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I love it. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, listen, that separated and came to rest on each one of them. What a beautiful picture. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Everybody says, as the Spirit enabled. Listen, if you're going to speak in tongues, do it as the Spirit enables. Amen? And we're going to get a definition. We're going to get a definition here. If Luke's going to tell us what was going on here as they were speaking in tongues. All right, verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Why were they staying there? Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Must have been some kind of sound. Because each one heard their own language being spoken. Amen. So I could be standing right here talking, and listen, if you're from out of state, out of town, out of country, and listen, if the Holy Spirit enables me to speak, no matter where you're from, you're going to be able to understand what I was saying. That's what he's saying here, all right? Utterly amazed, they ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? Well, the Spirit enabled that. We already read that. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, listen to this, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. Now listen, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So yes, they were speaking in tongues. Yes, everybody could understand what they were saying. But make no mistake what they were saying, they were declaring the wonders of God. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen? All right. Amazed and perplexed. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? That's a fair question. Some, however, made fun of them and said they had had too much wine. Got to be a doubter in every group. Right? Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Wait a minute, Pastor. Judas is no longer with them. All right? How can there be 11 and Peter makes 12? Well, if you read the rest of Acts chapter 1, here's what you know. When Judas hung himself, and after all these apostles got together and met together, Peter stands up and he says, hey, we need to pick another one. And he actually quotes from two Psalms, all right, gives evidence that, hey, we are supposed to pick somebody to take his place. And he says, hey, it has to be somebody who has been with us from the beginning. Amen? So you ain't just going to step in or trip into that position. All right? It had to be somebody who had been there from the beginning. So it comes down to two men. Everybody know the two men's names? Justus or Matthias, or Matthias, or however you want to pronounce it, is fine with me. All right? And then what happens? How did they choose the way they did back then, man? Right? They cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. And listen, we don't hear a lot about Matthias. Amen? But there's no doubt about it, based on Peter's profession of Scripture, that what took place there was supposed to take place. And now there are 12, once again, there are 12 apostles. Amen? This is what he said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning." Does that matter? I've seen some of y'all drunk before that. "No." Listen, no. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen? Listen to me, you guys who've been in Bible study as we go through the book of Isaiah. All right? Because if you read through this whole thing that he says here, he quotes from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. If you read through that whole thing, you're going to see a near prophecy, which is what's taking place now, and a far prophecy as well. Amen? But let me read that first one. Because here's what I want you to see in this. That what's happening here on the day of Pentecost, when God pours out his Spirit on his people, 700 years before it happened, God said it would happen. Amen? All right. Here's what happens in the first part of 17. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Amen? So when you read that, you know that Peter's talking about what happened here at Pentecost. Am I right? Then here's what you know, too. It almost sounds like at that point, Pat, we entered into the last days. I truly believe we're in the last days. Lord, I hope we're in the last minutes. Seconds. Who said seconds? Come on, I'll take seconds. Amen? 3, 2, 1. I am so ready. I am so, so ready. Amen? All right, so let's look at this and break it down as we talk about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit today. Something very powerful and very specific happened in that upper room. Yeah, there was a loud noise. Yeah, there was a wind blowing. But there's something very specific that happened that day, and here's what it is. Every person, if you read and were paying attention, got their own flame. Out of the 120 people, how do you know there was 120 people there, Pastor? If you go back to chapter 1, verse 15, you'll see it tells you that there was 120 people. Every person there, of the 120 people, in their obedience to the Lord, to wait there for the promise that God had told them to wait there for, all of them got their own flame. And listen to me. Everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith today gets their own flame. Can you imagine that picture of fire coming down? Because I'm going to explain to you exactly what the Bible said. A fire came down and then split into 120 tongues. And on the head of each one, shoo, shoo, shoo. No wonder they started speaking in tongues. No wonder they started glorifying God. Come on. Yep. And speaking of the wonders of God. Because that Holy Spirit had just went, yep. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture, man. Listen, every person who's been saved today should have had, can go back to their own personal encounter and their own personal experience with the Holy Spirit. Because everyone gets their own flame. Amen. Jesus knew that the church was going to need this. Jesus knew that they were going to need more than speeches, more than pageantry, right? He knew that they were going to need what? Power from on high. I want you to remember that statement. But he also knew that everything necessary to defeat the devil and establish the kingdom of God was given to them on that day. Everything. Amen. If I'm going to be honest with you this morning, would it be honest for me to say the enemy is on a rampage today? Would it be fair? Unless you're under a rock, the enemy is on a rampage today. And listen, from my perspective, spiritual warfare is greater than I've ever seen it before in my lifetime. It seems, though, as I look around, to be honest with you, that the average Christian is bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Because when I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got the Holy Spirit. But what I mean by that is we get saved, we've been to the cross, we've been redeemed, we got salvation, but we have never truly tapped into the power that God put in you when that transformation took place. Amen? Follow me this morning. Follow me this morning. Today, when I look around, I look in places, other churches. Sometimes I look in faces. And listen, sometimes when I look in the mirror, it's me. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to know that. But I see people and God's children just stumbling around, man. No mission, no purpose, and no power. Just stumbling around in the dark. Don't know what they're doing. Don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Don't know where they're going. And ain't got no power at all in their lives. Amen? On the other hand, man, the enemy and his horde from hell, amen, the third of the angels that fell with him, the demons and all of that, they're focused. They're unified, man, in the purpose that they have. And God told us, Jesus told us what their purpose was, to steal, kill, and destroy. And today, man, we're bumbling and stumbling around, but the enemy, he is laser-focused on doing what he came to do, and that is steal, kill, and destroy. You know, when I think about it, I'm a patriotic individual. I love my country. I absolutely love America. I love how it was founded. I love how God founded America and everything he did for us in the beginning. And I'm thankful for every patriotic man, and I'm thankful for every patriotic woman and all that they do to try to save this great country. But listen to me, here's the deal. This is a spiritual battle. This is a supernatural battle. And it's going to take a supernatural power to save this country. It'll never be saved in the flesh. It's only going to be saved through the Spirit that resides in God's people. Amen? So today, every person who occupies a pew, come on, needs to have their own flame. They need to be operating within the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit. Hello. At least two of us are going to make it. Amen? Listen, what I'm saying today needs to happen. Remember, we're supposed to look at our own lives. Amen? And when I looked in the mirror, I was found wanting. Wanting what? More of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, the majority of the church has not yet made the connection between what Jesus said previously before he left, before he ascended, and what happened here on the day of Pentecost. But I want to help you to make those. I want to help you draw that line or connect those dots this morning. Amen? Here's what Jesus said in Luke 24:49. I want you to pay close attention to this. Here's what he said before he was ascended. I am going to send to you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with, all right? Until something has covered you, encompassed you completely. And what is it? The power from on high. Amen? In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, listen to what he said. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Listen, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hold on now, Pastor. He just said, clothed. Oh, yeah, clothed me, baptized me, whatever, just give it to me. Amen? Put it all over me. But baptize me means what? Submerged. All in consuming, right? Oh, praise the Lord. And were they? Listen, I don't know, man, that fire. That must have been some kind of sight. what happened that day. Amen? And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Here's what I want you to see, something real quick. God told him to wait in Jerusalem. Wait there and you will receive power from on high. I love the fact they did what he commanded. He said, I command you, right? Go wait in Jerusalem. I will, and the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, will come upon you. Listen to me. They could have went to Bethlehem and missed it. They could have went to Nazareth and missed it. Don't miss their obedience to be right where God wanted them to be, where they were the most hated. Come on. What were they doing? Hiding in an upper room, fear of the Jews. But God said, you wait right there, and I'm going to clothe you, and I'm going to baptize you, and I'm going to give you a power from on high. You say, well, Pastor, being in the right place is good. Listen, you remember when Elijah, remember when there was a big a famine out through the land, and the Lord said, you go to Brook Cherith, and that's where I'll take care of you. And what happens? The ravens. God commanded the birds to bring Elijah food. If he'd have went anywhere else, he would have starved to death. Amen? You remember when Naaman came to the prophet Elisha. Elisha didn't even go out and see him. He sent his servant out there. Right? Remember he had leprosy. Elisha tells him, go and dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Well, that dude, he said, man, where I come from, the rivers are clean. Because the Jordan is ugly, muddy, and dirty. River, right? He said, what, you want me to go do what? But did he? He did. Because his servant stalked him into it. And he was cleansed. But if he'd have went anywhere else, he would have still had leprosy and probably died from leprosy. Amen? How important is it to be where God wants you to be? And where is that? In his will. In his will. Amen? All right. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit come upon you that you would receive power, man. Pat talked about this. What does that word power mean? The power in the Greek means dunamis. We get a word from that. What word do we get from that? Dynamite. Amen? It means strength. It means power. It means fortitude. And what it means is a will to win. All right? A will to win. This dunamis, this power, does it not give us direction in life? Come on. Does it not transform our circumstances? Does it not encourage us? Does it not empower us? Does it not embolden us to speak the good news of the gospel? Yes, 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 yes. But the most important thing that the Holy Spirit does, it is He who does the sanctifying work within us to make us look more like Jesus. Hear me. Some of y'all need some sanctifying work. Come on. Because your lives don't look anything like Jesus. Your thoughts don't look anything like Jesus. Come on. Your heart don't look anything like Jesus wants it to look. All right? I'm being honest with you this morning. And I'm being honest with you because I looked in the mirror and wasn't happy with what I saw. Amen? That I could do better. I could be better. I could allow that transformation to take place on a faster pace. Amen? It's up to me. How much do I want to yield to the Holy Spirit of God that resides in me? And I know He's in me. Amen? Do you know He's in you? That's four of us. Amen? On the day of Pentecost, there's no doubt these disciples knew exactly what happened. All right, because not only did he tell them what was going to happen, hey, stay in Jerusalem, man, you're going to receive power from on high, but here's what I want you to do. They knew something special happened, not just on the outside, not just with the flames and the sound and the wind and all that. They knew something changed on the inside. You hear me? How do we know that, Pastor? Listen to me. Because that is when God took possession of his new temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It was there that tongue of fire that came from on high. Amen? And filled those 120 people. Smile, Joe. It's okay, man. Right? That God took possession. For me, it was March of 1994. I didn't see no fire. I didn't hear no wind. But I know this. It was when God took possession of his new temple. Amen? And he resides in me today. And I hope he resides in you as well. Amen? So this mighty baptism is exactly what Jesus said it is, right? It is a baptism of power from on high, right? It is the power to destroy completely the works of the devil. Hear me. It is the power to take down any stronghold. Come on. And it is the power to set the captives free. And all that power resides within you and within me. Amen. I want to share a story with you. Peter was preaching. You guys remember the vision Peter had, man? And what it was a sheet coming down, and in that sheet was all kind of four-footed animals and dirty animals, animals that the Jews couldn't eat. And God tells him in this vision to get up and eat. And Peter says, oh, I would never eat anything unclean. And then God tells him this, do not ever declare anything unclean that I have declared clean. And this is when Peter goes to Cornelius' house. Who is Cornelius? He's the first Gentile recorded in the Bible of being saved. And I want to share with you what was going on in that after Peter goes there. And by the way, God told Cornelius to send for Peter. And Peter, God had already prepared Peter to come to this Gentile's house. Because prior to that, Peter would have said, you're unclean. But God had already told him, what I have declared clean, let no man declare unclean. Amen? So here's what he said in Acts 10:37-38. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judah, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. John preached a baptism of what? Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's right. Now listen, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Where is he talking about here? When did this happen? It happened when John baptized Jesus. Come on. And the Holy Spirit came down and sat on him like a dove, but his Father spoke from heaven and said, what? This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Now after that happened, listen, and how he went around doing good, and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus did some magnificent things, did he not? Jesus did many, many miracles, cast out more demons than you can even count. It is absolutely innumerable of how many demons Jesus cast out. Now, I want to read to you some from John chapter 14. The context of this is, in John chapter 14, Jesus begins by saying, in my Father's house, remember, there are many mansions, and I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, right? And then he goes on to say, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that's the context in which this verse is spoken in verse 12. He said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. You have to ask yourself, what does Jesus going to the Father have to do with us doing the works that he did? But not only the works that he did, but even greater. I'm quoting what Jesus said. Did he not say we would do even greater? Greater works than he did? The answer is, Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's what he said, right? Jesus knew that when we received the Holy Spirit, listen to me, that we would have the same power working in us that was working in him. Come on. You will do greater works than I have done. Jesus never preached a sermon and 3,000 got saved. But Peter did right here in Acts chapter 2. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? When I think about Bethlehem, I think about where Jesus was born. I think about Bethlehem and him being born and how Isaiah prophesied so many hundreds of years before, you know, a child shall be born of a virgin and you shall call his name. So when I think of, and that means, you know, when I think about Bethlehem, I think about God is with me. Amen? And then I move on to the cross of Calvary and I look at it and I know what Jesus accomplished there. And I know that's where the penalty for my sin was paid. That is where I got my redemption. Amen? And I look at that, and it says to me, God is for me. Amen? So God is with me in Bethlehem. God is for me at the cross. If the cross says nothing else, it says God is for you. Amen? And then we come to Pentecost. And when I look at Pentecost, it says, it screams to me, God is in me. Amen. You look at Bethlehem and God is with me. You look at the cross and God is for me. And you look at what happens here in Acts chapter 2. Make no mistake about it. God is in me. God is in me. And he is in you. I do hope that he is in you this morning. Amen. I want to read something to you that John the Baptist said. And a lot of people take this and go all kinds of places. All right. But let's just look at it for what it says, all right? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, all right? So John the Baptist, when people would come, he would baptize them with water for repentance, right? Jesus has still not came or not been revealed, right? He's came, but he hasn't died and went to the Father yet, so nobody can get the Spirit because he can only get it after he has gone to the Father. All right? You understand? But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and
fire.
Thank you, Lord. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. With fire. So John says, there's one coming more powerful than me, and he's got a way more powerful baptism than I got. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. Amen. Now listen to me. You don't get the Holy Spirit one day, in 6 months, a year, or maybe never, don't get the fire. Amen. They both come at the same time. You got the Holy Spirit and you got the fire.
Amen.
Amen? You say, Pastor, what does the fire represent? It represents what it always represents. Purification. A cleansing. Amen? Your sins being totally wiped away.
Amen.
By the purifying fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, that's a beautiful picture right there. Jesus said, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power from on high. But the enemy wants you to believe you didn't get that power. But the power is there. Listen, the fire is there. Yes, you have to cultivate it. Yes, you have to stir it up. As Paul told Timothy, sometimes you got to fan the flame. Amen? But the power is there. It is there. The enemy's been very effective for a very long time, in fact, you know, centuries, really, in keeping God's children from understanding the power that we have inside of us. Because the enemy knows that if we ever realized that power, and if we ever unleashed that power that we already have, he is in big trouble. He would be in big, big trouble. And here's why. Because that is the only power that can defeat him.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
Nothing you can do, nothing I can do, nothing anybody can do. There's only one power that can defeat the enemy, and that is the Holy Spirit, and God gave you that.
Amen.
When you got saved.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Man, this just gets better and better, man. It just gets better and better. All right. So, again, he's been telling us for a long time. Jesus had the Holy Spirit. Paul had the Holy Spirit. Peter had the Holy Spirit. The apostles had the Holy Spirit. But, you know, somehow you didn't get it. Or you have to earn it. Right? But he's known all along. I just want you to know that right now. He knows. Man, if you get up in the mornings and you're not working in the Holy Spirit, that enemy's going, got him. Got her. You're going to follow me today. I'm going to influence that person today. Amen? Well, you get up, man, and you say, Lord, fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Amen? Help me to do what it is you want me to do. Help me to say what it is you want me to say. Help me, Lord, today transform me even more like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody, he always preached to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Somebody asked him, how come you're always preaching about being filled with the Spirit? He says, because I leak. Now, we don't really leak, do we? But we suppress. We let this world get on top of us. We let the struggles get on top of us. And pretty soon our focus is no longer on what it needs to be on. Amen? That's why he always preached to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, so if you've received the Holy Spirit and you've received the baptism of fire, you have the power. Amen? As a matter of fact, you have all the power that you could possibly receive. And here's why. What resides in you, there is no greater power in all of creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't think you do. I really don't think you do. I really don't think a lot of you understand what I'm saying. The power, the greatest power. You cannot receive any greater power than the power that you received when you got saved, because there is no greater power anywhere. You have it. Oh my goodness, if we could ever get a hold of that sucker. Really? Oh, unleash it. Right? Oh, how do I tap into that power, Pastor? Well, before I tell you how to tap into that power, let me tell you why it isn't manifesting in your life. Amen? Do you want to know that? Two of you? So the rest of you don't need to know why it isn't manifesting in your life the way that God wants it to manifest in your life. Listen to me, you, all of us need to know why. Because until we know why, until we're willing to say, yes, I have a problem, we'll never even look at it to fix. Amen? The first step to recovery is admitting you got a freaking problem. Amen? Come on, give me an amen, Hal. Did I say freaking? Good thing I didn't say the other word. Right? Huh? I take that back, but you know, it's forever ingrained on, you know, all right. So let me tell you why it isn't manifest. First, why it doesn't manifest in your life. Number one, it's plain and simple. You don't have it. I'm being honest with you this morning, man. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's something you got to have. Amen? The reason it may not be manifesting in your life is because you do not have it. Because you have never genuinely, sincerely understood the cross of Calvary for what it truly is, and that is God dying on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and restoring fellowship and a way back to Him, and you taking your faith that God has given you and placing it in the Son of God who did that for you on the cross. Listen to me. Oh, but Pastor, I walked an aisle. Oh, but Pastor, I said a prayer. Listen to me. John chapter 10, verse 9. If you will confess with your mouth, listen, believe in your heart. What does that mean? That means you believe with everything, every fiber of your being. Amen? That Jesus is who he said he is and did what he said he did. Amen? I believe. I believe. I hope you believe as well. So number one, it's pretty simple, right? Number two, in Acts chapter 7, you guys know Stephen, right? The first Christian martyr. He stands up, he preaches a beautiful sermon. One of the most beautiful sermons in the Bible, with the exception of Jesus's. Amen? And here's what he says in Acts 7:51. He says, "You always resist the Holy Spirit." Right? Now, in transparency here, he's talking to a bunch of morons, idiots, right? People who are just don't want to hear. And he's saying you always resist the Holy Spirit. What does resist mean, though? It means to oppose or to strive against. To say that you and I, as Christians, do not all and ever resist the Holy Spirit would be a lie. Come on. That's part of the reason, or one of the reasons, why the Holy Spirit doesn't manifest itself fully in your life or my life, is because we resist the Holy Spirit. Amen? Pat, you talked about this last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And what it says is, and Paul telling by the way, this church was doing fantastic. They were on point. They were a baby church, but they were doing great, man. But Paul tells them what? Do not quench the Spirit. Do not. If Paul says do not quench the Spirit, do you know what that means? It means you can quench the Spirit. What does it mean? Here's what it means. It means suppressing a fire. Or you guys have put out a campfire before, right? Quenching the fire before you go and right? That's what it means. Quenching the fire. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Because if you do, he's not manifesting himself in your life the way he wants to. He's trying to get through there. But you keep throwing water on the fire. Or fire suppressant. Or whatever it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Paul told the Ephesian church this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Praise God, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Praise God, that power that came on me from on high is sealed within me. Amen. But he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. It means you can bring, you can cause him to feel sorrow. You can cause him to feel pain. You can cause him to be distressed. Amen. That's what that means. The fact that he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, means that you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. And you say, Pastor, is it possible for me to do these things? Listen to me. I did all of them at once. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth, man. I go to pick up lunch at Slotsky's one day, right? And I'm standing in line. There's a lady over in the corner, and she's crying. She needs somebody to come and talk to her. And that Holy Spirit wells up within me and says, you go. I'm resisting. I'm next. Right? He continues to work on me. I continue to resist. And listen to me. Not only do I resist, I eventually win by throwing water or whatever and quenching that Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the shame and the guilt that I felt wasn't as bad because I had resisted to the point to where now I had quenched. Understand? I got my food and I left there. And make no mistake about it, I resisted, I quenched it, and I grieved it that day. But that was a life-changing moment for me. Today, I will speak to anyone for any reason. Amen? So, yes. We can do that. We can do that, man. And sometimes it's just a lot more simpler than it should be. Amen? So what are some of the things we can do, man, to fan that flame, to get that Holy Spirit alive and well and in the forefront of inside of us? Amen? Prayer. Amen. If you ain't got a dedicated, committed prayer life, listen to me, you're running on empty. You got a pilot light for a Holy Spirit fire. You understand what I'm saying? All right? How about fasting? The Bible says we should fast. When's the last time you fasted? Set aside something, whatever it was, just to focus on God. Try it for 5 minutes. Try it for 10 minutes. Try a short fast. Amen? But when you're fasting, focus on God, because that's what the fast is for. Amen? How about reading? Not just reading the Bible, but meditating on it. What does the Bible say? Meditate on it day and night. Reading the Bible. Man, again, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not feeding that spirit, what does Psalms 119 say, Pat? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, how did that word get in there? Well, I read it. Amen? Number three is praise and worship. Praise and worship. Do you know God inhabits the praise of his people? He inhabits the praise of his people. Now listen to me. Listen to me. It's important. You show me a child of God who was given the ultimate power on the day of salvation, who is not praying, who is not reading, and who is not praising, and I will show you a Christian who stumbles around with no mission, no purpose, and no power. You have absolutely resisted to the point that you've nearly put it out. And just like a water heater, all it has is what? A pilot light. But listen, what do you got to do to get that fire going? Just add a little gas, man. Come on. Who gets to decide that? You do. I do. The enemy's on point. We're not. But we have inside of us the power to defeat him. Hands down, no competition. Come on. Oh, easily done. All right. In Luke chapter 11, give me a few more minutes. Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to him and ask Jesus to teach us how to pray. You know, and one of the things Jesus says is, he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened, right? To everyone who asks, it will be given. To everyone who seeks, they shall find. To everyone who knocks, the door shall be opened, right? And then he says this, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When I read that, oh yeah, it applies to lost people. You want the Holy Spirit? Then you ask God into your heart. Amen? Put your faith and your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. But listen to me. The only thing you and I as the children of God got to do with a sincere heart is ask. You don't think God's going to answer that? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? Give the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just ask. And I recommend you do it when you get up. And maybe you need a refill. Man, you know, I do. Sometimes, you know, a couple hours in, depending on how many of y'all I dealt with. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. He'll always fill you. He'll keep you full. He will. All you got to do is A-S-K. Pretty simple, isn't it? All right, can I be direct with you? Not that I haven't been already. Yeah. Amen. I believe that the world, and specifically here in America, is in the worst condition that it's ever, ever been in. And, you know, I don't say that to join the doomers and the gloomers, because I know the Bible. I know what it says. I know what I have. I know where I'm going. Amen? I say that because it has become absolutely and totally clear that America's only hope rests in God, amen, of which he has given his power to us. So really the only hope truly lies in God, but the God in us. Amen? listen, and a man, God revealed this to me, and it's almost like he slapped me right in the face. Listen, hear me. We got to quit looking around. We got to quit waiting for some great anointing to fall on us. Come on, hear me. I'm guilty. Yes. All right, Lord, here I am, pour it out. Instead, we need to acknowledge, understand, and believe that the greatest anointing he has already put inside of us. I read articles about this Ashbury revival, right? Oh, God is pouring down the rain now. Listen to me. Oh, God made this clear to me. It's not God pouring down extra. It's people tapping into the power they already have, and it starts to spread. Because that's what the power does when it's from on high and it's unleashed in a city, in a state, in a life, or whatever, man. Amen? Don't wait for something to fall. Push it out. Push it out. Just do it, man. The enemy's greatest fear in the church today is that we would finally come to realize exactly what we have within us. And make no mistake about it, we don't. We truly, truly don't. Do you have the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I already told you how to get it. Amen? Put your faith and your trust in Jesus and the finished work on the cross. Amen? You can't defeat anything without the Holy Spirit. Amen? I can't even fathom, because I've been saved for 25 years, what I would do without the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'd be dead probably. I'd be dead. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the struggles, he can overcome all of those if you let him. The pain, the sorrow, the strongholds, God has already given you the power to demolish all of them. Amen? That power within you is like a stick of dynamite. You just got to let it out. Amen? Do what's there on me. Man, that's good stuff. I know some of you are going to leave just the way you came. Amen? You will, but I'm not. This changed me, especially when I look in the mirror. When I looked in the mirror and God said, man, yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm a pastor. What are you talking about? Huh? I'm talking to you. Amen? Listen, no matter how much fire you think you got, there's a lot more. There's a lot more. Amen? How many people did you talk to about Christ this week? Listen, when that Holy Spirit is operating in your life, amen, when you are have fanned it into flame, man, listen to me, you'll see every opportunity because you're looking for them opportunities. Come on, and they're there. Every single day, they're there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It emboldens you. It empowers you, right? It takes away that fear and that anxiety of saying, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? That question right there is the greatest question. And the only thing more important than that is the answer. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody bow their heads for a minute. Just everybody bow your heads for a minute. Close your eyes. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you do, raise your hand. Okay? Let me ask you this morning, in all honesty. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you know it, raise your hand. I ain't going to point you out, man, because this decision is not mine to make for you. But listen to me. Everything God said about His Son was true. He went to the cross and He died for you and He paid the penalty for your sins. And he wants you to have the power to overcome the devil, to set the captives free, and to overcome every stronghold and everything in your life that will ever come. You will have the power and the peace and the joy, amen, to sustain you through it. But that's a choice that only you can make. And I will never pressure anyone into making that decision. But I do pray. I pray, and there's a lot of people praying with me right now, that y'all would make that decision this morning. Amen? It's not about walking an aisle. It's not about praying a prayer. It's about you believing with everything that you are that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died as the Savior of the world. Let me talk to you Christians for a minute. How many of you in here would say, yeah, I resist the Holy Spirit? Listen, I want to be honest, completely honest with you. What are you going to do, crucify me, tire up of me? What? Every single one of us in here are guilty of that, whether you raised your hand or not. Every single one of us are guilty of resisting the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us are guilty for quenching the Holy Spirit. And every single one of us are guilty for grieving the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I hate to tell you this, but those are probably things that you're going to do until the day the Lord comes and gets you, or He comes back and takes us all. But here's what I'm saying. You don't have to do it as much as the Holy Spirit transforms you more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. You will do that less and less and less. But you'll never be perfect. Amen? But listen, do you want to be filled? There's no reason for God to fill you if you don't want to be filled. Today, my prayer for you is every single blood-bought, Holy Spirit-baptized individual would tap into the greatest power in all of creation. And that power would be released in your life. Oh, it'll soon affect your entire family. It'll soon affect this entire church. And then the entire world. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this word that You have given us today, Father. We thank You so much for the Holy Spirit, the power from on high that You've given us, Lord. So thankful for the baptism, the fire that You've given us, the cleansing, the purifying, Father. Lord, I don't always feel clean, but I know You cleaned me, and I know I am clean. And I know I am pure. And I know I am righteous. Not because I feel that way, Lord, but because You say I am. And I believe You. Father, whatever Your Holy Spirit is prompting today, I pray that people would come and pray, Lord. Pray for an infilling, Lord. Pray that You would fan the flame. Pray for a filling, Lord. Pray for more boldness, Lord. Oh, we all need it, Father. I just pray, Lord, we would answer that call this morning. Because I pray, I know, Lord, the lives that can change. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.